Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bütün Ramadan and the month of Hajj, it's approximately 70 days. Ramadan, then the 10th of Zilhijjah, is 70 days. And this is a period that is most auspicious, most significant in the Islamic calendar. The last 10 days of Ramadan and the first 10 days of Zilhijjah, so the most significant, most auspicious. To the extent the ulama are discussing which is more significant, the last 10 days of Ramadan were the first 10 days of Zilhijjah. Most say that the first 10 days of Zilhijjah is even more significant than the last days of Ramadan. And perhaps the reason is quite evident, that the first 10 days of Zilhijjah, Allah Ta'ala has taken an oath, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, the 10 nights and the even and the odd, shaf'i wal watr, the 9th and the 10th, the day of Arafat and the day of Nahr, most significant days. Arafat, and then imagine the multitudes that are all gathered on the plains of Arafat, right? All attention is towards the heaven, the heads, the eyes, the hands, all to the heaven. One single time, and you get approximately 2.5 to 3 million people all in the open, in the plain fields, and in this year in the rains, standing out and beseeching the help of Allah Ta'ala. Can you imagine what will be the extent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that is descending? But it's nice, it's important that we are a business class people. Most of us Indians are business class. So a business class, what it does, that after the business period is over, they take stock, all right, what sales we did the previous year and what we have done this year, where we do need to improve and where were we negligent. So they take stock of themselves, right, last year and this year. What did we do last and what are we doing now immediately? And the hadith also wants us to greet Hasibu. Take stock. Don't just go on following the motions, not thinking, not reflecting, not understanding. Okay? That's an animal's life. It doesn't reflect, doesn't take stock, doesn't understand, because it's pushed to go to pasture, it will go and pasture. It's returned in the evening, it's returning. So why it's being pastured, why it's being returned, it doesn't know anything. It just knows that I must go pasture, so it goes to pasture. It knows that it must be returning, so it returns. So it doesn't have an understanding, it doesn't analyze, doesn't know what's going on. If it only knew what it was going for, it's being fattened for your meat. So one day we'll eat you and enjoy you, roast you, braai you and enjoy you. Or we like you so much because of, not of yourself, but of the milk that you're going to be producing. Right? So the animal doesn't know why it's being pastured, why it's being loved, why it's being respected, doesn't know. Now if a man doesn't analyze his life, then I ask you, what is the difference? The difference between a man and an animal, the philosophers have explained, what is the difference? They say, one group said, hayawanun natikun, an animal that can speak. But others say, no, that definition is not complete, not comprehensive, because when you talk of speech, you mean a mode of communication. And animals also have some modes of communication. Right? So give a more comprehensive definition of an insan. So the more definition, more important or more exact or accurate and precise definition of man, hayawanun mutafakkirun, man that thinks, understands, reflects. One Englishman was learning Urdu, but from a dictionary, right? So he saw one of his workers around, so he told his worker, "Tu to bara mota fakir hai." So he said, "Main to mota nahi hu, aur na fakir hu." Mota means fat, right? Fakir means poor, right? So tu to bara mota fakir hai. So I'm telling you, man, you are mota fakir. Where did you get it? See, now, see, he opened up the dictionary and he showed it to him. What was there in the dictionary was mutafakir. And the mutafakir, he pronounced it as mota fakir. See, now, that's one of the fazilat of self-studies. When you self-study, then you don't realize the wrong that you're doing. Anyway, so this is that in-between period, and it's about the most significant period in the Islamic calendar, between Ramadan and the 10 days of Zilhijjah, most important, most significant days, right? And the more important thing is then we take stock, right? And even more important is, this morning some student came, I think in the third or the fourth year. So he says, "No, I got some concern about another student." So I explained to him, "All right, what's your problem?" He says, "No, the student here, he pries into other people's business." So this is the complaint that he had given me. So I tell you, see, when you are in a madrasa, in a khanqa, right, then you take the status of a student. And when you adopt the status of a student, then what must be your behavior like, your outlook like? Your outlook like must be like you are in an ICU. In an ICU, you're not worried about that patient, but his eyes, he needs a pair of glasses. And this one here, he's got a hearing problem, he has hearing aids. So he's not worried about that, because it's touch and go in ICU, special unit. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. They're talking about putting him onto a respirator, on a life support. So at that time, what is he going to be concerned about? What he's going to be concerned about is his dear self. The rest will come in its time. In fact, it's possible that if you rectify yourself, others will take the cue from you. But you're going to worry about what he's doing and he's doing and he's doing. That's, you don't understand the whole operation of Islam. Isa alayhi salam says that you behave in this world not like a policeman, that you're a policeman to see now, ye kya kar raha hai, what he's doing, what that person is doing. But don't behave like a policeman. Behave like a simple Muslim, right? Not what he's doing, why he's doing this, and what's he up to. But it's not your business. You're not the control of the world. We didn't plan and design the world. So you don't take the role of a policeman. Policeman will do that. You do your work. Then the student says, "Yeah, man, I made a mistake, man. I'm watching everybody else's behavior. I'm losing track of myself. Sometimes in looking at the next person's behavior, then I'm getting involved in ghibat. I'm getting involved in other things." So this week I think about four ulama explained the same thing, this ghibat thing, right? And how you can reel yourself out of it. How you can reel yourself. Don't think about others, think about yourself. The more you think within yourself, the more false you will find. When you find false, then you'll find the need to make islah and istighfar. Right? Hadith says, "Tuba liman fi sahifatihi istighfar kathir." Congratulations to that person who finds in his book of deeds recorded a lot of istighfar. Ask Allah for istighfar here, ask for forgiveness here. So the one that recognizes his fault, he will repent. But I can see your fault, I can't see my fault, then will I repent? You know, I'm still better than this person. That's how you'll keep thinking. Unfortunately, in a circular institute, this is how you are trained to think, alright, how he's doing, what he's doing, what he's doing. Here is another, but you look at yourself first. And in fact, that is a logical thing. They asked, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Sahaba Kiram asked to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So they wanted to know now how much and what should we spend. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ How much and what should we spend, where should we spend. So first was, how much should we spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala? قُلِ الْعَفْ Say what is extra. In other words, first you be concerned about yourself, your dependence, your immediate needs, right? All your requirements, you see to that. Then you see to others. To look at others entirely, that's wrong. And to look at yourself entirely is also wrong. Yes, reasonably, at a good, moderate level, you look at yourself. And then look at others as well. Right? So the same will apply here. Now, by look at your deen. Where am I going off? What did I do? What I do not have to do? Why am I doing this thing here? Ask yourself, if am I doing it to see that I am better or he's better? But you're not the judge, Allah is the judge. You're not judge. So you don't take the role of a police, of a judge, don't take that role. You take the role of a servant. I'm a slave, and let me behave like a slave. Let me die like a slave. So this aspect of ghibat, I was just explaining it, one simple way how to clear mind out of ghibat. Sometimes the mind is involved in ghibat, sometimes the tongue is involved in ghibat. But one of the two, sometimes the tongue, and sometimes the mind. The tongue, we know about it, that you are speaking ill about the person in his absence, right? That is the tongue. But sometimes you are making ghibat of the person in your mind. Yeah, what's wrong with this person here? What a kebab he is. How can he behave like this? So, I'm making ghibat of the person, but mentally. And this mental ghibat, we don't consider it as ghibat. I'll be swearing him, I'll be talking ill of him, I'll be doing a lot of things against him, but I'm not realizing that I'm involved in something very, very bad. So now, a simple way how you can discipline your mind against ghibat, against inspecting this person and that policeman, being that, by look at yourself. Look at yourself. How many namazes you're right? Is your eyes right? Is your tongue right? Are you talking and flirting with girls just freely and openly? Are you doing that? Are you involved in all that? So, for yourself, you would try and make up a cover-up story. If you are talking freely to a girl, then you say, no, I don't have any bad intentions. But if the next person is doing it, then you say, no, he's flirting. For yourself, no, my heart is very clean. That number that my heart is clean, really, I don't like that number. Someone was delivering a talk now recently, right? Orient Hall, whoever. Woman was delivering a talk. So she is giving the talk and she says, now she's a big alima, professor, whatever it is. So she says now that the more important thing, or the most important thing, the required thing is the parda of the heart, the hijab of the heart. So that was her talk. That this is just a formality, and the more important thing is the hijab of the heart. So one person stood up and he asked, all right, if someone's wife has to walk with a bikini, you know, with a bikini on the shores of the Durban beach, right, will that be right? She's, her heart is full of hijab, but she's got a bikini, and then sometimes she takes out her bikini also, you can see everything, but she sees that her heart is full in hijab. So, no, yes, that's the hijab. So half the crowd left. And it's strange that a Muslim school hosted the whole thing. So what Islam are they teaching? You see? What are Islam are they teaching? Now there's two things you need to understand here. One is, there's a common phrase that is being used and repeated everywhere, that you don't have to be judgmental. Right? Now, people that say that you don't have to be judgmental, they misuse and they abuse this phrase. They don't know where to apply it, and we're not to apply it. Right? If something is haram, something is wrong, we will say it's wrong. We will not say now that I don't have to be judgmental. No, if it's haram, then I have to say it's haram, it's impermissible. Now, where does it feature that you say that you are not supposed to be judgmental? If a person is coming into the masjid, for example, and he's coming with shorts, then don't you correct it by, this is not allowed in the masjid, you correct yourself and come in. So can you say that, no, I'm right, my heart is right, so therefore you mustn't be judgmental. Can you say that? If the Imam Sahib is reading 5 rakats of namaz in place of 4 rakats of namaz, Someone corrects him. Imam Sahib says, no, don't be judgmental. My niyat is very, very right, very sound. So Allah would accept my namaz. So no, Rabbi, your namaz is wrong. No matter how much, how good your heart is, but your namaz is not right. One woman, she's writing up a letter. She says that, you know, I do my namaz in the house, but my auntie and my cousin, both of them complain that this girl here, her heart is not good at all. She's reading namaz, but her heart is not good. They're not reading namaz themselves, but this one is reading namaz, and they are passing this type of a comment. So I said, but their hearts are not right. Who's not performing namaz, their hearts are not right. And to cover themselves, to cover that filth of theirs, what they're saying, no, you know what, we are better because our hearts are better. This one's heart is not good, and she's performing namaz. So you see how this judgmental phrase is being abused and misused. One person came to me, Hafiz Sahib and everything quite learned in Islam. So he says, no, my wife is very, very good, you know, very, very good she is. But she just likes to go shopping to the mall here and there and buy presents for everybody. But her heart is very good because all the presents she buys and she gives to me. I said, the heart is not good. If the heart was good, she won't go and gallivant in the bazaars and all that. Not a place for the woman. It's a place where shaitans frog, they flood the place, they frequent the place, and she likes to be there. Now, I ask you, I tell that person, listen, if I'm robbing you to go and help the people in, for example, in Amlazi, so my heart is very good, isn't it? So my niyat is good. My niyat is what? To help the people in Amlazi. I'm going to help them in Amlazi and Chaswood, but I'm going to rob you. Is that right? Does this wrong justify that? So now, see, with all your learning and everything, but your understanding is off. Your understanding is totally off. So now, this type of people are not even Muslims who are saying this thing here, that the hijab is in the heart and you don't have to have an apparel to cover it. Depart from Islam. When they got nothing to do with Islam, then how can they be allowed to give an Islamic talk to an Islamic audience from an Islamic institute? How can they do it? That means those people don't know that Islam. They don't know what Islam is all about. Now you can't say that, don't be judgmental. Because the wrong is open, it's brazen. Somebody is drinking wine. Say, but you're doing haram. But don't be judgmental. See how commonly the phrase is used. That means that whole chapter of Nahi and Munkar must be closed down for these people that say, don't be judgmental. Then this whole world will be in a chaotic state. The police has flagged you down. Don't be judgmental. Can the police then stop you? Can't stop you. Because he's being judgmental. Right? The judge that is passing judgment there, don't be judgmental. The whole world will go in corruption, the whole confusion. So, people have used the word, they abuse the word. They don't know what is judgmental. So, we're talking about ghibat and how to overcome this ghibat, right? See, that masnoon dua, wasnul sakhimata sadri, right? Allah Ta'ala, remove the dirt of my heart. Kina, dirt, malice, the filth of my heart, Allah Ta'ala, remove it. So I just want to know that how this word is applied. You know, one is you know the translation, but now in what context, how they use it, what's the application? See, you know, there are expressions, and you want to know the how they are expressed. Like you say, a cat has 9 lives, right? You say that, right? So now it doesn't mean you kill it once, you have another life. Third life, you know what I mean? So it's got an expression, it's got a certain meaning. So you must know what it refers to, right? So then you'll be able to apply it correctly. So look at the dictionary now. Where do they use it? How do they use the word uslul sakhimata sadri? Right? So they use this word here, salla as-sakhimata. What? Salla as-sakhimata. He deposited all the sewage. What? He deposited all the sewage, right? That's the ritual meaning, and that's how it's used, really, originally, right? So, some of you may be aware that in say 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, lots of home had the bucket, right? The sewage to go there, and the man comes in, takes the bucket and goes and deposits it, right? So that was called sallas sakhimata. He deposited the sewage, he took it and he deposited it, right? So now, you tell yourself, but I don't want to be a person that is depositing sewage. Right? He is Suraj, I'm carrying in my heart. I don't want to do that. It's his Suraj, his filth, right? But I am carrying, I'm so clean at heart that I will deposit his Suraj in my heart. I don't want to carry other people's sins. So my mind needs to be clean, my tongue needs to be clean. I don't need to deposit his Suraj, that person's Suraj. What am I doing? What am I doing? Now, people will see you afterwards, they say, no, this person here is not a good thing to be interacting, socializing, meeting, everything. Because he's got the whole world's ghibat, the whole world's wrong. But his work. I used to see by Mufsab Rahmatai, Hazaji Rahmatai, people will explain their problem, not the world's problem. What's the problem? What will happen? Why? It'll happen. Manchester, what's the score? The world will take care of it. Right? Who's got the upper hand in the world nowadays? China, America, who's doing what? By the world will, it will carry on. It's not subject to your comment. And even if you analyze the whole situation, America is above China and they're moving, you know. But how does it benefit your life? How does it improve? How does it correct you? You study that whole thing, yeah, America did this and China did this. And Japan did this. It's so fine industry, right? Right. So now, how does it affect your life? Does it affect your life in any way? Do you bring about any type of quality in the life of people in general, or your life in specific? Does it bring any type of correction? But then why waste your time? Let them carry on, you do your work. In fact, you should be reprimanding yourself. America is doing his work. China is doing his work. And Japan is doing his work. Am I doing my work? How I'm supposed to be reading my namaz, am I doing it? How I'm supposed to be controlling my tongue, am I doing it? I'm supposed to be guarding my eyes, am I doing it? I'm supposed to be guarding my ears, am I doing it? So I'm not worried about how he is doing and how that person is doing. Yes, if I'm worried about that person, how is he doing, what's he doing, what's it? So I explained that person that came today, so concerned about that person and the other person and the third person, but not concerned about himself. Asked him again, the same person asked, but I ask you, this whole holiday that passed, right, you were at home, so can you see me, you didn't watch any wrong video. His head went just like this, straight. Straight. Yeah, well, I slipped, man, you know, I slipped here and there. So that slip of his, he doesn't talk about. But the next person's mistakes, he's ready to pick it up and then broadcast it. But the wrong that he did, looked at this video and a little bit of music, this side and that music, right? That he will not talk about. That he will not talk about. Yes, the next person's mistake I will talk about. Now, is that right? Is the thinking right? The thinking is skewed, is gone off. You come for a dini program, or a khanqah, you go to jamaat, why, for what you go? You go basically, primarily to go and rectify yourself. Whilst you are working for deen, then other people also get rectified. They also come right. But primarily you are concerned about yourself. When you're concerned about yourself in the wake of your work, in the midst of your work, people also come right. They see, oh, this person is a different person. He behaves differently. He works differently. He talks differently. Now we need to correct ourselves. But if they see you like them, you also entertain any type of chats, any type of life, right? So what's the difference between him and me? No difference. The only thing, alright, he eats halal. But besides that, he eats, he drinks, he does everything that I do. So what's the difference? Then why must I adopt his style? But see, there's something distinct in this person. He doesn't rob, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't backbite, he doesn't talk out of turn, he does things correctly. It's a different person. So we were saying now, we're talking about this thing here. Ramadan and Zilhijjah, and these are the most auspicious days in the Islamic calendar. Most auspicious, right? So when they are the most auspicious days, then the right thing is, this is your prime business period. When it's your prime business period, then you need to understand, alright, where have I incurred loss and what gains have I made? Where have I incurred loss and where have I gained? So if I gain, I must improve on that. If I incurred a loss, then I must correct myself. I must rectify myself. Right. If you're going to be blocking off all your losses, no, I didn't make this loss. I say, can there be a greater fool than yourself? You incurred a loss, so be mad about it and speak about the loss that you've incurred. Today I was speaking in the start, you know. So I said that you see that technology, this phone, it looks so innocent, right? But now look at how people are responding, how they're reacting, right? How they're reacting to it. People are in the front row of the masjid, right? There's a Mulana, there's a Hafiz Sahab, there's a doctor, there's a businessman, all of them. They're reading Quran Sharif from the phone, right? Now, we will not say it's haram. Right? We will not say that it's haram. But the young child growing up, impressionable mind, is watching what they are doing, right? When he watches what they are doing, he feels to himself, he's reasoning within himself, that this is my Maulana, this is a Hafiz Sahab, this is a doctor, this is a businessman, or good, prominent people. If they can watch their phones, why can't I watch my phones? So he pulls it out, and he begins to see. Now he doesn't know what you are reading. He doesn't know what you are seeing. All he knows is that you are looking at your phone. So he will be sitting at the back of the masjid, because of his small, but he'll be watching a TV, he'll be watching a video. He says, no man, they can do it. My Hafiz Sahab, my Mulana, my so-and-so can do it. So why can't I look at a clip? Why can't I look at something? If they can do it, then why can't I do it? So now see how his mind is going. And the sickness that is going today, the sickness is about how to water down Islam. Anything Islamic, but how to water it down. Not to give it the significance and the respect that it has. So that is the sickness of the day, right? Now, one person came here, he read his own story, right? So he says, see, in my home, right, we are quite wealthy, very, very affluent, we're doing very good, right? But now, because of the wealth, etc., so we all have got phones. We got, the children got, the wife has got, everybody's got phones, right? Now, when everybody has got phones, now we're looking at the programs, we're looking at this video, we're looking at this thing, that, whatever else. So that thing then reflects and it has an effect on the mind. Because you're looking into an alien culture. A culture that doesn't belong to you, right? Looking at the video, you look at something, whatever. For the past time, what are you doing it, but you're doing it, right? You are doing it, your son is doing it, your wife is doing it, your daughter is doing it. They look at videos, they look at whatever clips, whatever documentary, they are looking at all these things. When they are watching all these things here, then it's affecting and shaping their minds. Right? So this was the first level. The second level, from here we progressed. What happened after that was that then we didn't see the need to observe that level of parda any longer. See, because we see that this is how people live throughout the world. We're looking at some film or some video that came from America, some from London, some from South Africa, some from this country. But everybody lives like this. Now why should we be so orthodox? Why should we become fundamental? Just how the world is cooperating, let's carry on like this. Now he's giving me his story that how it happened, right? Or there was a second level. Now we became a little bit free, meeting up, they talking, we talking. It's going quite free, we're shaking hands, woman, non-woman, Eid day, Friday, whatever, but we're saying Juma Mubarak, holding the hand, right? All this is happening. In the meanwhile, now things are progressing, they're carrying on. See, from one thing, it looks so innocent, but thereafter it escalates, one thing to the other. One barrier is broken down, the next barrier is broken down, the third barrier is broken down. Now, when the third barrier broken down, now I discovered that my wife, she is about 40 years of age, and my nephew is about 18 years of age, 40 and 18. And they are becoming very, very close. They're becoming very, troubled me a little bit. Until one day, I saw, you know, this is something very serious. And we confronted and we found really they slept together. Both of them. The nephew 18 years and she is at 40. Right? Now you see, when you make istighfar, when you look at the sin and don't think much about the sin, then it keeps on escalating. Keeps on escalating. Because you're the best person. Everybody is wrong. You're the best person. From here, from where it escalated, from this point right to that point, it escalated. So I just told him, all right, you know what, my suggestion is don't become too impulsive. Give her a chance, perhaps she just fell into a wrong. Bring some corrective measures in the house. Maybe you can take her for counseling to some woman, an elderly, respectable person. Alright, everything happened. He phoned me again about 4 days, 5 days ago, and he said, no, it can't work, because they're too deep. They're too deep with each other, and they can't, it can't work now. But you see, by Allah Ta'ala, khuda ke haan, there hai, and there nahi hai. There's going to be a delay for things to materialize. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Now, when Allah Ta'ala gave the respite, and you became too complacent, now the stick of Allah Ta'ala comes and strikes. I gave you the respite. The respite was for you to understand, to think. And Umar radiallahu anhu is delivering the Jummah khutbah, right? And one woman stands up, as Umar radiallahu anhu is giving a khutbah, and he says about Mughalatul Mahar. In Aradtum istibdala zawjim, makana zawjim, wa ataytuhumuhunna ihdahunna qintaran, fala ta'khudhu minhu shay'a, right? Aradtum istibdala zawjim, makana zawj, right? Now you want to replace your wife. It won't be the right thing to say, trade in. You don't say trade in. You don't say you want to replace. Now you got one now. So she is, whatever reason, you want to replace. Take out and replace her. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. And the one that you married, you are given a treasure of wealth. A lot of wealth, mahar and everything, gifts and wealth and jewelry, and you gave her investments and property, everything you gave her. آتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. Yeah, Umar radiallahu anhu saying, see, don't do this. Mughalatul mahar, don't do it. Exorbitant mahar, don't do it. Right? And if he's going to go, anybody's going to be guilty of this, then I will take the money and put it to the Baitul Mal. Right? Now one woman stands up and she says to her, Umar, you can't do this. Now, look at the whole picture. It is the Amirul Mu'minin. Perhaps he's ruling about half the world at the time, right? His rule has gone extended. Right. When he's extended, he's so powerful, right? Right. Now when he's so powerful, it's a Jummah, the whole masjid is packed up to capacity. And one old auntie, she's got the guts to correct the imam from the minbar. She says, no, Umar, you can't do this. And Umar radiallahu anhu says, alright, why? Explain to me why. He is not insulted. I am Umar. Me, Shaitan also is afraid to walk on the path that I walk on. I am a Jannati. So he didn't think too much of himself at that time. But he wanted to know what was the correction that this woman has given. See now, we need to see these things here. I'll come back to the story. Before I come to the story, now look. I read one of his malfuz just now. Just now, just before coming here. So he says, there's two things, right? One is ta'lim, and one is tarbiyat and taqwa, right? So if there is no tarbiyat and taqwa, there is nothing to stop the person from wrong. Right? There is no tarbiyat and taqwa, then there is nothing, no stopper. Right? You got the ta'lim, you got the education, but there is no tarbiyat and taqwa. When there is no tarbiyat and taqwa, then you do things randomly. Because there's nobody to stop you. There's nobody to check you. Is there anything to stop you? Anything to check you? So the king and his wazir are having a discussion. The king says that ta'lim is sufficient. We don't need tarbiyat and taqwa. And the wazir says, no, you need the tarbiyat and taqwa, disciplining, correction, with a deep sense of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you definitely need it. The king is saying, you know, ta'lim is sufficient. He is saying, tarbiyat and taqwa, you definitely need it. Now, when it's a king, then you can't throw your weight too much. You know? He's the boss now. He can do anything. He got unlimited powers. Not like an ordinary boss. He got unlimited powers, so you can't throw your weight too much. So he said his thing, and he backed off. King is not accepting. When the king is not accepting, all right, I'll stage a drama for this person here. Make him realize, get him into his thinking, right? So he made a massive jalsa after Maghrib, after Isha, whatever. And for all the lighting, he's got the cats in charge for all the lighting. At the reception, cats, right? on the corridors, there's cats, on the passages, cats, on the stage, there's cats, everywhere's cats. They're all in charge of the lighting. Olden days, candle, whatever they were doing. Now, the guest of honor is the king. So the king is pulling in with the wazir. Now, I don't know if you've seen, some countries, people wear sleeves so long. Without any exaggeration, about half a meter. I've seen the Sudanese and all that. Look at this, the sleeves so long, right? So it's a style in some places. So now, the king and the wazir is pulling into the jalsa around Maghrib Isha time, when it's dark. So every, the whole thing has been flooded with this lights that are supported by the cats. So as they're pulling, the wazir just let out those rats out of the sleeve. And before you know it, and it's a big inferno. Everybody is running away. The king and the wazir also is moving away. But kya hua? You know, I was telling you that tarbiyat and taqwa is equally, in fact, more important than the talim. What happened? So you see, the thing had been given some education, right? Trained for what? Trained to look after the lights and all that, right? But did it have that capacity to receive taqwa? So when it doesn't have the capacity to receive taqwa, then what will stop it? What will stop it? So now, in the Khan Khalifa, what's happened today, nowadays, that if he's coming, talk about his achievements. I did this so much in this madrasa. He'll come, I did this. I have this dream, you know. But the wrongs that you did, do you talk about it? I made this zikr, I did this, I did this. So all the good report you give it, but the wrongs that you did, do you ever talk about it? Do you ever try and correct yourself? Nabi Sahib is saying, like, you know, that until you don't love me more than yourself, then your iman is imperfect. Umar says, yeah, I don't have it. See, he's man enough to come and say that I don't have it. And one of us is not. Yeah, anything you tell me, I'll do it. So you want an endorsement, an achievement. But do we ever talk about our weaknesses? My wrong, this is my mistake, my weakness, I need to correct myself here, I need to correct myself. Do we talk about it? Then I ask you then how the Islah is done. How is it? Come and explain and extol all your virtues. Then how to correct? You go to a motor car mechanic, alright? What do you call that? Where they fix up cars? Or a mechanic, whatever, right? And you tell him, you know, this car did so good, and he did so good, and so well, what achievement. So then what he'll ask you, what the mechanic, then why you brought me? Why you brought the car to me then? It's illogical to speak about just your achievements, or what I did, to talk about your kamalat, that's illogical. Absolutely illogical. Thawi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, one person spoke about his kamalat. Hazrat Muawiyah Sahib says, Khalifa. The Khalifa, and he spoke about his achievement. Meret Malfuzat mein is tarah se likha hua hai. Malfuz is like a respectable word, right? Like a statement of a Buzurg. When you talk about the statement of a Buzurg, then you don't say, maine unhone is tarah se likha hai. Unke Malfuz mein ye aya hua hai. So, Meret Malfuzat mein is tarah se likha hua hai. That's all he mentioned. Muawiyah says, I strip you of the Khilafat. You think too much of yourself. Gone, your khilafat is gone. Now, I thought about it, that why did Mawlana have to take this step here? I said, it was so important for Mawlana to take this step here, had this person not rectified himself, his road to tarakki and progress would have been stopped straight away. The whole, our Chishti order, the whole emphasis by, apne aap kuch na samjo, don't think anything of yourself. Just break yourself, annihilate yourself, break yourself, annihilate yourself. What is meant by annihilating? Suicide. Kya matlab hai? So there's two levels. The one level is fana'e sifat. What? The wrongs that we have got within us, rectify the wrongs. What? Rectify the wrongs that we have got. Correct. Look for your wrongs. I got ghibat, I got riya, I got this problem, I got that problem here. I need to rectify myself. Fana'is, that's called fana'is sifat. And then, after fana'is sifat is called fana'is zat. You know, you say fana, and then you say fana'ul fana. One is svana, and one is svanavasana. So first, see all the weaknesses that you got, pride, you got jealousy, ostentation. The whole Deoban school was like this. From the beginning, all the ulama I saw, but they were like that. We went to Deoban, we saw Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Right? Now look at the level of his humility and fana. At some time, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to eat from the mess, right? If you want to eat from the mess, you deposit a fee. At that time it was about 10 rupees. 10 rupees you put in, and you get a month's supply of food, right? But now, there's 1,000 students that are queuing up for food, right? So you have to stand in the queue until your turn. He would take his stiffen, stand in the queue at the time when he was the Sadr Mufti of the whole world. Understand? He was the Mufti of the world at the time, but he says, no, I am an ordinary person, I must follow the queue like the rest of the students. I'm not something significant. I'm not something great. I must follow the queue like the rest of them are following the queue. Now that's the level of tawazu of fanayat. Now that person makes tarakki. And if the person is not prepared to make fana of himself, his road to progress has been jammed. He can't. In his eyes he seems to be progressing, but really he's not progressing. No way is he progressing. So we're talking about Umar radiallahu anhu, and this woman correcting Umar radiallahu anhu. See, so if Umar radiallahu anhu had some jalal in him, then he had waqafan bil kitab, waqafan bi kitabillah. If there was some jalal in him, if there was anger in him, and if the verse of the Quran or the hadith was quoted to him, then he stopped immediately. Imagine, you know, you're going, you're moving at 300 k an hour, right? 300. And you are asked to stop and to put dead brakes at that time. To put, you're going so fast, you're going. As though it's, you can't stop at that. But Umar is going at that speed. 300, 400 is going at that speed. And he's asked to stop the dead brakes, he gives it. So that person can do it who's got that level of taqwa. And the taqwa has to be learned. It's not going to come naturally. And can be learned if we go and discuss our problems or weaknesses. Now this woman is correct, Umar Ali. Umar, you are saying wrong. What wrong? The Quran Sharif is saying that at the time of the marriage, you've given some woman a treasure of wealth, then don't take a single cent. I'm giving my own meaning, right? My own wording. Don't take a single cent. So the Quran Sharif is saying this, and you are saying that must return into the Baitul Mal, what you're saying is wrong. Umar says, from the minbar he's saying, with all the audience around, what he says, in this masala, a man has slipped very badly, the woman was right. It doesn't mean now that we need to have a day of woman's right. That's a different thing now. See, one extreme to the other extreme, this extremism is not right. This extremism that we're getting into is not right. We come here, all of it, big or small, right, old or young, we come for Islah, correction, that mind must be opened. Right? I didn't come here for someone to extol my virtues, to talk great about me, or I didn't come for that. I came to learn about my weaknesses. Now then, the person that is in charge, he feels open to talk about it. But see, you know, my weaknesses are brought up. My weaknesses are brought up. Now, my respect is gone. But Umar didn't think like that. Did you ever think that for the moment? He's a precedent, right? Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashideen al-mahdiin. Now, in this season here, so many complaints coming from here right till Johannesburg. What happened like this? There was a fight and someone pulled out guns and what. Right? Now, I'm trying to see now where the wrongs are, right? There's about four wrongs that came to mind. People that speak about from here right to Jobu, right? All mistakes, wrongs, weaknesses. Now they need to be rectified. The one mistake that is done, that's committed everywhere, nearly everywhere, is we want to buy a prized animal and then show off with that animal. Buy a prized animal, a ram this size, and then photo the thing and then send it out. Viral. See the animal I bought. See the animal I bought. Right? Up till now, the Khalas, what they were doing is they got a party or something and they camera the food and they send it out, see what we're eating. Hey, stupidity, this is nonsense. What is it? What are you doing? Who are you showing off to? And what was the need for that? Was there a need for all these stupid things? The need was, well, you got some, so share with others. The need was not to show off your food. Now they're showing off the food, now they're showing off the animal, right? Now in that show now, in that show business, the second thing is, the second problem for the show, this is wrong, right? Now when it's going to be a show business, I ask you, then why are you doing the qurbani? The one side I'm doing for Allah Ta'ala, and then you want it to be a show, right? Can you reconcile? For one side Allah Pak, one side everybody must see that. Oh, this is a ram I bought, this is a sheep I got, see the size, whatever. But can you reconcile this? So that was the first problem, right? The second problem is this, that I'm hearing, I say from here, I tell you this book. Till 4 up and whatever, right? The second problem is this, that it's become a real show business, right? So I asked some youngsters when some cows being slaughtered here in Springer Hills, somewhere. So I asked them, why do you have to go there? They said, wait for the show. So I said, what is the show now? I said, oh, I think jumps and give it a height and, you know, like a cowboy thing, like a real cowboy. Then the women are looking from one side. I say, well, this is cruelty to that animal. And if the SPCA comes and discovers what you're doing, and if they put a stop to it, then you say, no, these people are against Islam. But are you also wrong? Well, there was an easy way, there's a very easy way. You get a drop box, and you lower the animal without any hurt, without pain, driving it through, put it to a drop box, sleep the thing, and slaughter everything. So I asked him, but why aren't you doing this? He said, how the women going to see? Where's the fun going to be? Where's the maja? So are you doing it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala or for the maja of people? What are you doing it for? There's such a simple way to do it without inflicting any harm. But no, where's going to be the fun? Where's going to be the entertainment? How the women are going to see it? Where's going to be the maja in this thing here? So we need to do it. You know, they see our strength, our might. Women can see it and they can, you know, they can also get excited of how we're conducting ourselves. I say, what's all this for? كَتَبَ اللَّهُ الْإِحْسَانَ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Allah Ta'ala has ordained ihsan for everything. For everything Allah Ta'ala has ordained ihsan, right? Everything. فَإِذَا زَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا Now ihsan in the Quran Sharif has got two meanings, right? One is to do something very well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ Performing namaz, try your best to do the best namaz. So any act of ibadat, but do the act of ibadat rightly, correctly, properly. And the second meaning it comes for in the Quran Sharif, وَسَيَّ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا It comes for kindness, right? To be kind. Right? So now, when you're slaughtering also, do it well, and do it with kindness. I say, you got that thing, you jump from here, and then you are battling, grappling somehow, inflicting pain on that thing, just for a show business, etc., I ask you, is that ihsan? Ask yourself. There is a simple way. Get a drop box, sleep the thing down, slaughter it nicely, but why don't we go for that? Why do we have to have the show? So ask ourselves, are we doing it for the show? Or are we doing it that this is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It has to be done and executed in the way Allah ta'ala will like it most. And I say, no, but where's going to be the show? And where's going to be the maja? I asked those youngsters, why are you doing it like this? No, this is going to be the maja. How are the girls, the women going to see the thing and all that? So it's a show business. Then you want to impress on the girls that side there. What you want to, you interested in the girls, you interested in the qurbani, you interested in all of that. What are you interested about? Get your understanding right. What are you doing it for? See, this whole thing goes off when the niyat is off. And then when the niyat is right, then everything goes right. So to get it right, the simple way is get the niyat right. You got the niyat right, the whole thing went right. But the niyat went off and everything goes off. See that? Everything goes off. See? So I was explaining this mistakes, these weaknesses that comes around the time of Qurban, right? How to avoid trouble, how to avoid problems. This is our way, our chishti order, our Diyoban ulama ikram. This is the way that they had adopted how to avoid. Hazrat Sahanpuri Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he's got one of his cousin and he has to come for some type of medical treatment. See. So he's living in a small village. In a village you will not find specialists, you won't find hospitals, all that. So you have to come to a city center. In the city center you'll find specialists, you'll find hospitals, etc. And the treatment is going to take long, 5-6 months. So he requested that I'll be here and I need to come for the treatment. I can't afford to go to the village, come back, go to the village, come back. Right. So I'll be centered here. But now I need to then occupy my day. Now, in order for me to occupy my day, what I need to do is that I need to be teaching something. I need to be teaching something so that my day is occupied. Otherwise, whole day I'm just sitting there doing nothing. So he requested his cousin, Hazrat Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah, give me something to teach so that I can occupy my day. So anyway, Hazrat Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah thought about it, said, alright, I'll give you this kitab here. Maybe the third year, fourth year kitabs, etc. Well, I suggested to him. Well, that was not enough for him. He said, no, give me Bukhari Sharif and Tirmizi, I'll teach it better than you. Now, at a madrasa, Bukhari, Tirmizi, etc. is given to the highest level of ustad, right? That's an order in every madrasa. So give me these kitabs and I'll teach it even better than you. So now, look at Mawlana's immediate response. Mawlana's immediate response is, definitely you'll do it better than I do it, right? First. The second sentence he says, you see, you're going to be a new teacher here. And I know the style of the students. When there's a new teacher, right, they're going to put him through the mill. They'll fire up questions, unnecessary, necessary. They'll put him in the corner, they'll jam him up. Right? They're going to put him in a tight, in a difficult position. Me, I'm old, right? I've been with them for so long, I'm old, so they're used to me. So they're not going to put me in the corner like how they try you out. So it'll be better for you, just take these kitabs and move on. Anyway, carried on. The discussion's over. Now, I'm just showing you the mizaj of our Dioban Ulama Ikram, how they conducted themselves, how they reacted. One student was sitting there, this person, he made a request and he's gone. One student of our Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, that is in the final year, Bukhari Sharif and all that, he suggested to Mona, Mona, just give him the kitab, Bukhari Sharif. Aise sawalat karenge, usko chati ka doodh yaad aa jayega. In English we'll say, give him the kitab, and we'll fix him up. He'll regret the day he was born. We'll put him in his place. So Mona's response, look at Mona, see, he's talking about fana. I said, one level was, get the sifat right. That's the first. You can't move. Without getting this right, you can't, I'm telling you again and again, you can't move. It's just an imagination, I feel that I'm moving. By some experience or whatever else, you feel you are moving, but you're not moving. You're not moving at all. So that fanaya sifat is that step you don't take, you can't move forward. You have to get that right. And then, if you're not accepting the mistake, then there's going to be a situation created whereby you will have to learn your lesson the difficult way. Because you're not accepting it. Nobody can correct you. Nobody can correct you. Say the taqwa is not there. When the taqwa is not there, then is there anything to correct you? Then your concern is, how do I appear amongst people? What's my reputation like? So Allah Ta'ala becomes secondary. Your reputation and your standing amongst people, that becomes primary. How will people see me? What they will think of me? That becomes the primary concern. Allah Ta'ala becomes the secondary thing. See? Like now, you got a wife, right? You left your wife one side, you got your girlfriend, and the girlfriend is giving all the attention. Now, you want your wife to give you that amount of love. Are you going to get that love? No one will get that love. You know, so you can't expect that love of Allah Ta'ala, the proximity of Allah Ta'ala, when your mind is in this thing. How are you going to get the love of Allah Ta'ala? You can't get it. It's just an imagination. She may be just there for the convenience. She doesn't have that love for you. So the proximity with Allah Ta'ala is gone, is broken down. Because you don't want to cross that fara. Now look at Mawlana's response. And he says this, Mawlana, ان کو وہ کتاب دے دے, دین کتاب, قسم ہے خدا وحدہ لا شریک کرو, ہم ان کو شتی کا دودھ یاد دلا دیں گے. By the oath of Allah Ta'ala, he will regret the day he was born. So Muaz's immediate response was, hargiz nahi, don't ever do this thing. Khuda Ta'ala ko barai ka kalima bilkul pasand nahi. This word of your own, I am like this, and I am like this, and I am like this, and I am this. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like it at all. He hates it, detests it. See, that's called a fana'is zat. One is fana'is sifat, one is fana'izat. You finish with the sifat. See all these qualities, right? You got that right. Now it's fana'izat. Now what do you mean by fana'izat? Now that's an even higher level. See? Now you want the proximity of Allah, you have to annihilate. Whether you like it or not, whoever you are, whoever son you are, and whatever you are, but you have to, whether you like it or not. That seed for that thing to sprout, to bear fruit, it has to finish itself. It doesn't finish itself. Can't ever think of sprouting. It must split, it must annihilate, you can't see the seed at all in the ground. Now you see that thing sprouting. But as long as you got meh, and I say, if you don't correct yourself, you will learn the lesson, if Allah Ta'ala wills, in the hard way, with disgrace and embarrassment. It will happen. It's the word of Allah Ta'ala, the desire of Allah Ta'ala, it will happen. So now, we're talking of fana is sifat, now fana is zat. But to understand fana is zat, look at it. Imagine there's a drop of rain that is coming from the skies, right? Coming down, malaika are bringing the drops of rain from the sky, right? So that rain drop, when it understood its worth, me, I'm so great. Min al-ma'i kulla shayin hay, I bring life. I give life. Ma antahura, I bring about purity. I bring about life. So that one drop of water, it thinks so much of itself. It drops so much of itself. But as it's approaching planet Earth, it's approaching the Indian Ocean, then it sees the ocean, the vast ocean. Hey, main to kuch nahi, I am nothing, absolutely nothing. Totally insignificant. In comparison, I am absolutely nothing. So that is called fana'i zat. That when you look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you feel yourself to be a total non-entity. But this must not be a feeling, it must be a behavior. Where we feel, oh, I know the story, so I've got it. That's how I feel. I know what patience, so I got it. No. Like, one is you know the concept. Do you have the patience? You know about fana, but do you have the fana? There's two different things. I know how to make money, but that doesn't mean that you have got money. It's two different things.